morning we will be looking at John 14, again, verses 16 and 17 primarily, but we will also be probably looking a little bit into 18, which will take us into the part for next week. I have a number of different things I want us to look at in conjunction with this today, because this is such a wonderful picture that we have of the work that God has done for us and the provision that He has made. Let me just read these couple of verses first for you, and I'm going to actually read them with the tying it back to verse 15, as Nathan already read. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. May God bless that short reading of His Word to us this morning as we give consideration to what was taking place there in this conversation. If you remember looking back, this is where Jesus had been speaking of oneness with the Father, where he had been speaking to them about who he was and even what they were called to do and how he was in the Father and the Father was him. And he would go on in further verse or chapters to say, and I am in you and you are in me. And there's this beautiful intertwining relationship that we see with God and His people. And last week's thing, remember, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will all do also, and greater works than he will do, these will he do. And he's speaking to this, what's going to take place through this working of the Holy Spirit, which is going to take place in their lives. And it's going to take place, actually, fairly quickly. He says in 15, and let me take us back there. Well, let me go back just for a second even further than that, because to the prayer part, we want to understand this fully, even in what he's saying here, that he's tying all of this is all being tied together. We can't break apart this chapter legitimately into too many little segments. They're tied into one thing that God is doing. And so we want to understand fully that it is God who loves us, that it is God who has given us the Spirit, and he is doing it because it is good for us. And he's reminding them, well, he's telling them without reminding them of what is yet to come. He's already mentioned, I will be leaving. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And what would be some of the thoughts that might be running through their minds even as he said that? Because remember, they wanted to go, and he says, where I'm going, you can't come. And so, what are we going to do? Would be the way that they would be thinking. What are we going to do once you're gone? And now in this passage, he is actually, in one sense, telling them what they are going to be doing. They're going to be doing the same thing they've been doing. Only they're going to do it in a much more magnified way. It's going to be expressed even more greatly than it had been to this point. He is saying to them, in verse 15, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And where he's saying this to them, I'm reading this in two ways, much as we sometimes do the Ten Commandments. There's a call. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And some of the people in the early part of the church, actually, I was looking at Augustine's thing, were believing that if you keep his commandments, then you love him. And if you don't keep his commandments, then you don't love him. And we fall into this even today. It becomes a works-related relationship that we have. Well, did I keep all of his commandments this week? No. Do I love Christ? Yes. Yes. And I think you can say the same thing. Did you keep all of his commandments this week? Or did you keep any one of them perfectly? And you would have to say no. And would this mean that you don't love him? No. Because the love we have for Christ is not something that we develop. It's not something that we conjure up. It's not something that we work on until we get there. It is something that is given to us. Even that love for Christ is a working of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some interesting phrases here that are used in this. And he says, if you love me, and these are legitimate words, and I love it, because he's calling them to something, you will keep my commandments. And I see this more as a promise. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will help you to keep my commandments. And he tells them here that I will, and this, by the way, is one of the really Trinitarian passages of Scripture. He's saying, Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another helper. He will give to you another helper. The Parakletos. And I'm going to get into this, what all that can mean. But this is a wonderful thing. And most people don't think about this at first, but there are a few things happening here. Well, first off, he's going to ask the Father. So Jesus is not sending the Holy Spirit as we would see it. The Father is. And remember, some in the church, and especially in the early church, began to view the Father as the God of the Old Testament. Remember, he was the wicked and mean God. How did they miss this verse? How did they miss this verse that Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father, and it's not like I'll ask him and I'll beg him and I'll plead with him until he finally gives in and sends you another helper. God the Father was as delighted to send the Holy Spirit as he was to send his Son Christ to die for our sins. Now he's sending the Holy Spirit. Let me calm down here. Now he's sending the Holy Spirit. And he's going to do a work that is in line in the finishing touch to the work that Christ has done. Not that it adds to the salvation, but now it is through the Holy Spirit that regenerative work is able to take place in our hearts. So he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you. And he will give you. Because our Father in heaven is a giving God. And nobody, and you know, and you've heard the sermons, nobody can ever, ever outgive God. And that is not only in just giving. He has given us his Son. He has given us Christ to die on our behalf. But he gives and he gives and he gives. And this is the most beautiful gift that we see outside of Christ himself coming and being with them. And remember, that even Jesus could only be with them in certain ways. He was with them in the physical sense. But he's telling them here, and he will give you another helper. Which implies that there was a first helper. If there's going to be a second paraclete, there has to be the first one. And the word, by the way, can be used in a couple of different ways. And the best one that I like is not counselor. Some people use counselor. What do you think of when you think of counselor most of the time? A guidance counselor or something of that sort. Somebody who gives you good advice. Somebody who kind of helps you out a little bit and, you know, gives you a little direction when you really need it the most. The advocate is more of a legal term. And I know most of you know this, but I want you to see that this can be seen in two different ways, really. There was the legal term, like the lawyer, who is a paid lawyer, he comes in and he does his job. And then there's the other kind. And in one sense, we can see both here, but I like the second one even better. Because here's somebody that really doesn't know you, but he's doing something to defend you. Then there's the other one, the friend, who will come and he will stand with you in a court. And he will make reference to the good character of your person, of who you are and why you are that. And this, again, is indeed what Christ does for us. In the sense that Christ is mediating for us and that he is interceding for us, he is not interceding in the sense of saying, well, these sins haven't been paid for, but it's always the picture, if we could see it, is the best proclamation of they are mine. It is done. The work what was required has been paid. And it's not that he has to convince the Father. The Father knows it's done. But he's using terminologies and pictures that we could put into our mind to know that the work of Christ is ever at action in our life. So this advocate, and if you've ever had people go to court, you go to court and they say, well, good luck. I hope you do well. How many of them are willing to go to court with you and stand with you and make reference to who you are? And why you are that person. Jesus is telling them, this is who I'm sending to you. And he will send to you another helper that he may be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth. Now let me read on. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now there's a whole bunch right there. And I want to get down to there, but it's going to take me a little bit. Because I can't get past sometimes this idea of this helper. One of the big reasons that we know Christ was sending him? Well, first off, Christ had to do his work. He had to die. He had to go to the cross. And Christ was in a body. How many people could Christ be with at one time? Well, let me phrase that differently. How many people could Christ be close with at one time? So many. And he had chosen 12 for himself that were his closest. They were his confidants. They had been with him through this whole time. The Holy Spirit, on the other part, can be with each one of us all of the time. And this is where we should find great joy all of the time. And it's not to be used exclusively in the sense that it's individualistic. He is with the church. He is with his bride all the time. But he is with us. And he's speaking to them there as people who are both the beginning of the church and as people who are individuals. And he is telling them, not only will he be with you, but he's already with you. And this picture leads us, and to know this, that to be born again, to be saved in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you. Now, many people say, well, there's got to be that second thing, you know, where you get those special gifts. And there was, in one sense. And I want to be most careful with this. There was a second thing that did take place. The Holy Spirit was with them while Christ was with them. But not in the fullness that he would be when Christ left them. And we see that in Acts. When the Holy Spirit came in fullness and in glory and came upon them. Then, and Jesus tells them later on, there are things you don't understand now, but you will understand them later. Because it will be the Holy Spirit that reveals them to us. Because he is called what here? What terminology did they use besides the helper? The Spirit of truth. He reveals to us truth. And by the way, he does this in the lives of believers. And he does this in the lives of sinners that are called to be believers. He reveals truth to them. And that draws them. Now, that doesn't exclude that others may not understand truth and yet still reject it. But I don't see that in the sense that he's speaking of here in what Jesus is doing. That he is drawing them to this. And in this, what he is doing, and I'm going to use something from Reverend Case. He used five different points that he mentioned that we could look at. He discloses God's love to us in this. He discloses God's love to us in this. Now, I'm not going to go into rather greater point other than saying that we've looked at this is the Father. The Father has given the Son, and the Son has come. And the Son is leaving, and the Father is giving the Holy Spirit because he proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Word makes this so clear in different portions of it. He dwells with believers. The Holy Spirit dwells with believers. Remember, I tell you oftentimes you can't get away from God because you can't get away from yourself because he dwells. And this is in the deepest sense of he is in you. He is in you. Not around you. He's not near you. And when I'm saying all this, by the way, I want you to understand that this is, well, let me go down to this verse right here just for a second. I want you to understand, because there's a great joy in this. Jesus says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, this is a wonderful picture. Some people think, oh yeah, Jesus is coming again. No, that's not what's implied here. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and in coming, him coming to you, I will be with you. Christ is indeed seated in the heavenly place with the Father, and yet it is Christ in our lives. In fact, we talk to Jesus. If you're a normal Christian, you talk to Jesus sometimes. Well, where is he? But in us, and through the Holy Spirit who resides in us. I said that he discloses God's love for us, and he dwells with believers. He also directs us in truth. And how does he direct us in truth? Here we go. The whole book. He directs us in truth through the Word. Not dreams that you have, Not spectacular new revelation that might come to you. If you ever find yourself getting a new revelation, well, just discard it entirely. It may sound good, but if it's new revelation. Now, if you've taken a new slant on some things, maybe sometimes, and God has revealed things to people from His Word. And that's what I say, as we study the Word of God, it is God Himself, the Spirit of Truth, who reveals to us what is true. And hopefully each and one of you have had times where you've had that little epiphany moment where you go, oh, now I understand the greatness of what He said there. And if you haven't had those, then be spending more time in the Word, digging into it. You will get that. Again, even the thing, He's our friend. God's our friend, yes, but in the sense of we see it here, as I said, the advocate. He is the one who stands with us. The picture would be, remember, it was put on your shield and the full armor of God. And what did a king always have with him? A shield bearer. He was one that was his helper. He would help him. And the Holy Spirit is indeed there to help us. Now, He's not our servant. He's always our God. But He's there to help us. He strengthens us when we're weak. We can't strengthen ourselves, but He strengthens us. He's the one who gives us words of wisdom when we have none. And it's the Holy Spirit of God who is with us, doing these things for us. So He directs us into the truth. Something else the Holy Spirit does, and it talks about this in this passage, where it says that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. And why does it not see Him or know Him? Well, if you're a good Calvinist, and I'd say if you're a good Calvinist, if you understand the Bible, it's because the Spirit of God is not drawing them to Himself. They cannot see or know Him. Because it does, or they cannot see it because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him. The other thing of great, oh, let me hit this last thing. He divides the world in that sense. The world can't receive Him, and it doesn't see Him or know Him, and so it hates Him. It hates God. And then lastly, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, defends the church. He does. He defends the church. One of the great points that I saw in here in looking at this, because there were so many words, again, we'd looked at, I will ask, and then the Father will respond, and He will send. And so we see this beautiful picture of the Trinity. It didn't say that I will ask the Father to come, or I will ask the Father to send me again, but I will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Now, and this is where we get all tied up sometimes, because it's real hard for us to understand the interconnectedness that God has with Himself. We grasp a little bit that He reveals to us, and then we get rather tongue-tied past that. He will give you another helper, that He will be with you forever. What a joy that should be for each of us who are in Christ, to know that He will be with us, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, decade, a millennia, but forever. You will never, ever in your life be separated from the Holy Spirit. Which is interesting, because Jesus is talking to men who are soon to be separated from Him after their 3-year ministry. And He's promising them, and He's promising you too, that when the Holy Spirit comes, and when He is with us and in us, He will be with us forever. Now let me go a little bit ahead. Let me jump just a little bit over to verse 15 or chapter 15. Well, let me go down. I'm sorry. Been up too long this week. Down to 25, 26 here. Actually, I'll start at 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, while I'm still here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He's telling them that the things that they're not able to lay hold of at that time, that they're not able to yet understand, that he's going to teach them all these things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Isn't that cool? He's going to bring to their remembrance. And this is why we have the gospel. Most of us couldn't remember all these different things. But God, through the Holy Spirit, brought into the mind of these men what God had taught them. He also says in 15:26, and I'm not going to go too far in depth. I just want to show you some little bits because there's a whole lot said about the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And that goes back into the Old Testament with Moses, by the way, where the Holy Spirit was with them. But I don't want to go back into that. That's another whole sermon, a different place. But it says in 15:26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Remember the picture always. This is the way God has set it up. Jesus came to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus. He didn't come to glorify himself. He came to glorify Jesus. And we bring our praise and glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says, and he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. And he says in the beginning of verse 16, or chapter 16, these things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. And then he goes on to explain some other things. He's telling them these things in these last hours because they needed to know them. They needed to be strengthened and built up in them. And then in verse 16, or chapter 16, further on down the line, and starting, I'm going to read from 5. It says, but now I am going to him who sent me. Because he's telling them the same thing a number of different times to help them understand what's going to happen, because they were struggling with this a lot. And he says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask where are you going, because I have said to you I have said these things to you. Sorrow has filled your heart, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper cannot come to you. Isn't that an amazing picture that we should be seeing? That if Jesus did not go away, then the Helper could not come. So he must go away so that he can come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, some more things that he will do. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sins and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sins because they did not believe in me. And concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. the ruler of this world. And he's speaking there of Satan. And he says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth. And I love this part, and we'll get into that a little bit later. He's saying the same words that Jesus has said. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. What wonderful words we have of that great work that's going to come. And yet, we can be sure that they still weren't understanding it because they knew what it was like to have Christ there in person. But they didn't know what it was like to have a Holy Spirit. And remember, the picture would be the Holy Ghost. And he's telling them, though, another helper. I'm not leaving you here like orphans, and I will be here with you. And I promise you these things, that you will through this, because that is part of the great work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompts us to keep the commandments of God. If you're a Christian and you don't keep the commandments of God, what happens? There's this little thing. Some people in the world like to call it conscience, but in the Christian, it's not just a conscience. It's the Spirit of God reminding us this is sin. Stop. Repent. Turn from this. Turn to God. And if we don't, and if we keep sinning, the Holy Spirit will do whatever he must. He will make you sick sometimes. He will take from you what you enjoy the most sometimes. And it's not because he's a mean Holy Spirit or a mean God. It's because God will get your attention. God, if you are in Christ, will draw you back to himself. And so all the more, all the time, we should be praying, Lord God, what should I be doing? And again, much of it we know. Shouldn't we be following the Ten Commandments every week? Even though we're not, quote, bound by the certain laws today, yes. We should be striving to follow them. We should be working hard to understand, well, what does God want from us? And let me say that more clearly. What does God require of us? In our own testimony, in the Westminster Confession, I'm not going to read this, by the way. In the Westminster Confession, it only says that little bit that I read last week. In our own testimony, if you read it, it says quite a bit about the work of the Holy Spirit. There are volumes and volumes of books. It's one of those things like the baptism books. They could fill whole little libraries. Well, books on the Holy Spirit could as well. The problem is that many of the books on this Holy Spirit are very, very bad. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit becomes all. I've been part of churches in my own life where the full focus of our worship was on the Holy Spirit. And then I've been in part of churches in my life where there was very little mention of the Holy Spirit. So it's easy to go one way or the other. Remember, the Trinity is the Trinity. It is one God and three persons, Father, Son, and don't forget the Holy Spirit. And don't forget the Holy Spirit is never it. There's many, in many churches that I've heard of different denominations, the Holy Spirit is he. He is a person. He can be grieved. And we know that. He can be sinned against. We want to discern rightly about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is not someone we will meet someday. He is someone. He is God who is in us now. He is directing our lives. He is encouraging us. He is building us up. He is the one that brings the word back to our minds that we have studied, that we know. He is glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Christ went to the cross, and the Father made him above, high above all others. And in God's own dictate, before all times, he had determined how he was going to do this, that Christ would come and die and be raised from the dead and have victory over death, and that the Holy Spirit would come and he would be in his people and he would teach them and he would stand with them. And he would direct us, and he would glorify Christ and all that he does, even as Christ glorified the Father in all that he did. And so let us be people who are able and try and strive to live our lives so that we glorify God in all that we do as well. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for these short words that we had today, that your Son asked you to send us another helper, and yet we knew the other helper was coming because it's been a part of your plan. And Lord, that as Christ delighted in coming and doing his work, so too does the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to understand that it is not us that chooses you, that it is you who has chosen us. And through that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you draw us to yourself so that we might be saved according to your choice. We thank you, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit with us both now and forever. That when we leave this world, that we will not be without the Holy Spirit in our life. We will just have so much more as we come and stand before the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. Lord, we thank you that in your wisdom, in your plan, you understood that only so much could be done through one man who was God and man, and yet so much more could be done in proclaiming that work of Christ through the Holy Spirit whom we have today. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to keep our focus not on one person of the Trinity, but upon all three, knowing you are God, and it is you who has loved us before eternity, and it is you that will love us for all time. And we are thankful today, God, that you chose to do that and that you chose to deliver us from eternal damnation and to give us instead eternal reward. And we pray all these things and give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 143, Selection B. Psalm 143, Selection B. Let's stand and sing praise to our God.